Welcome to Shabbat Scripture Studies. This is Larry. I'm going to be setting in tonight for Yada, who's roughing it in Hawaii with his wife on a week's vacation, apparently. And I just want to wish everybody a good seventh here. And the greatness of the foreshadowing of the seventh day of rest, or Sukkah, the 1,000 years when Yahweh will camp out with his family. There'll be Yahweh, there'll be his family, and no religion, and no confusion. So anyway, welcome everybody. And with that, I'm just going to get started. Tonight, what I'm going to do is just go over some concepts here that we run into daily when we're sharing the truth with people. And just, go over some things that may help us all and brush up on what it is that we can do to further other people's understandings. And if they don't want to listen to that, just move on to the next person, which I'm a big believer in, as most people know. People can say pretty much what they want to about me, but when they start disregarding Yahweh's words, they're making a giant mistake. Yahweh really doesn't ask a lot of us. He doesn't expect a lot out of us. He knows we're humans. He knows we're all seriously flawed human beings. But he does ask us to seriously consider his words. And this is something that very, very, very few people do. Those of us that, kind of do battle every day on FB, we've come to understand that most people really don't care a lot for Yahweh's words. And sadly, sharing them tends to fall on deaf ears. And with that, I'm just going to share, here's a small little debate. This came off William's wall. I'll mention his name. I won't mention the folks that he was talking to. But what William writes is, so if Yahweh, and he puts in parentheses, God's one and only name, has no problem with his creation calling him Lord, why then, when he returns, will he do this? And then he quotes Hosea 2:16-17. Yahweh said, "In it shall be on that specific day, prophetically declares Yahweh, you shall encounter and welcome me as an individual, and you shall not call me my Lord ever again, for I will remove accordingly the Lord's name out of her mouth, and they shall not be remembered, recalled, or mentioned by their name ever again." And then William asked, now, ask yourself, why this? Better yet, who are you calling upon when you call upon the Lord? Who are you praying to when you pray to the Lord? Check your opinions at the door and provide me with a factual response that I can research, please. And down here we get, I'm going to just stick with the Lord, my God. It's more basic for me. Well, that's amazing, and it's amazingly stupid. And it also leads me to believe that most people really do not have an interest in Yahweh's words. Somebody just chimed in at 214-567-9994. Who's on? Whoops. Sorry about that. Somebody was on hold, and I think I brought him in here. Anyway, William, is that you by chance?
Hey, hello? Larry. Larry?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, it's Mike.
Mike, okay, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was just listening in.
Oh, okay. I thought you were commenting. Okay. This gets us to a point where, I've come to understand that most people really don't believe Yahweh means what he says. And, of course, those of us who have delved into Yahweh's words and began to look at the words for what they say and for what they mean, we've come to understand that Yahweh means what he says. And the truth of the matter is, Yahweh's a lot more interesting and a lot better than the religious copy editors have made him out to be. As an example, we know that people involved in a religion or in a faith that has billions of members in it are really kind of in trouble because it doesn't really square with Yahusha's statement that said very few people will enter the doorway and walk the narrow path. He also states that the broad and popular path leads to destruction. Yahusha, meaning Yahweh saves, said, upon this rock I will establish my mikra. Now we know he said that because he was speaking Hebrew. And yet today, what we will hear so often is we will hear people say, they'll parrot what's in their popular religious material. And they will say, upon this rock, I will establish my church. But that's not what he said. We know that mikra was translated in Greek to ecclesia, meaning called out, which is to call out is what mikra means. And then men with an intent on creating a religion translated ecclesia to a religious institution called a church, which has a completely divergent meaning. They even take the Passover dinner that Yahusha had with his disciples and created a counterfeit called the Lord's Supper, totally negating the Moed Mikra Yahusha was participating in. You know, and so this doesn't lead to get people on that narrow path, and it negates them from understanding the three Moed Mikra Yahweh fulfilled that year, which was Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. So Christians are caught sitting there saying, well, okay, here we are. Hey, William, how are you?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm sorry I'm late, Larry.
Oh, you're all right. Just feel free to chime in here. You know, what I wanted to do tonight was really kind of go over the things that we know were intentionally laid in here to mislead others.
Okay.
You know, and just kind of reinforce the concepts that Yahweh lays out are that, you know, he is the type of leader that's going to lead from the front.
Right.
He's going to take the beating for the family, isn't he? That's what
he says he's
going to do.
That's what he did. Mm-hmm.
Right. And these were taken straight out of the heart of the Torah, Korah.
Mm-hmm.
And the called out assemblies, this is exactly how he said that he was going to solve all disputes.
Right.
And it's with parties, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, it really is. These are all shag. They're all parties. They're festivals. That's what they are.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But, sadly, so many people get that infection of religion, you know, on them.
Right.
And they want to carry it into Yahweh's home. You know, we know that we're always dealing with people at different levels. Some people, we're just trying to teach them the name. You know, because we know that's the start to any relationship, is to know somebody's name. And then other people, you know, we're trying to get them to stop playing religious dress up and running around saying, Ha Masayak, and obey this, and obey that, and the law saves, and all this. You know, we try to get them to the understanding that it's the understanding of the Torah that counts more than the doing. Now, there's some things we do and some things we keep, like the Moed Mikra, but even then, you know, it's not like I can make a Pesach lamb.
Right.
You know, I can eat lamb, but I don't have the Louis there to, you know, do everything that needs to be done. I mean, I can take it and I can grill my lamb and I can consider what it means. And even then, it's more about understanding, even though I'm doing what I know to do or what I can do.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, it's we're dealing with people at all different levels of this, and we're trying to be fair to give everybody an ample opportunity, you know, to hear the truth and to get the truth out to them. But there's certain basic things, you know, that we can all do. Like this right here, understanding he was fulfilling his Moed Mikra, Mikra, in this case, three of them, which has nothing to do with blood smeared on a pagan cross. You know, the very concept of the cross was thrown in there by Constantine, who had a dream and said that, you know, he saw a blazing cross or a sun in front of a blazing sun behind this cross, and he said, in this sign I will conquer. Well, running around conquering people is really the antithesis of Yahusha's words and Yahweh's ways. Everything isn't about some forced religion. You know, it's right. About acceptance and free will.
And the cross, isn't the cross like the oldest satanic symbol out there?
Yeah, you know, you got the Egyptian Anka, the Hindu swastika, the Druid peace sign, the Roman Chirio. They're all examples.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hitler wore one, the Maltese cross. Pope wears one, the Maltese cross. So, yeah. What do you think it is that gets people not to believe Yahweh's words? They'd rather believe religion over Yahweh's words. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I just think that people are comfortable. They're comfortable in what they were raised in, and you know, a lot of people, you know, naturally don't like change, and so, you know, they're afraid of the truth. I mean, the truth, you know, hurts sometimes, and so I just think that they're in a, you know, they're in a condition of life is just a happy, you know, time, and you know, God's going to save everybody, so I'm just going to live this life, and when I'm dead, I'll have eternal life. And
you really think people believe that?
Yeah, people believe
that. You think they really believe it? I don't think they do.
Well, I mean, if we're going to dumb down the word believe, then yeah, you know, because they don't really know, so they don't know. But
they don't know.
They don't know.
They
run around saying that they believe, and they run around. You know, at least I've witnessed it over and over again. And you know, the notion of being with your loved ones, you know, unifying with them after death and so forth. You know, you hear statements like "there's life after life," and I even ran around for a long time saying that. But in my case, in your case, in the family's case, it's true. There will be life after life for us.
Yeah, well, it'll be more than life. I don't even like that term saved so much or salvation. I really don't. Because
right.
You're amplified.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to go from everyday Joe to, to royalty.
Right.
With
right.
abilities that are unfathomable. I mean, we can't even fathom them. Not really. We can't even conceive them. I can't.
No, we can't.
I mean, imagine being able to materialize and walk through walls and teleport and do all these things.
Yeah,
you know, Steve
yeah,
had posted a piece in Unpopular Truth that we ought to go over the, you know, how fantastic the seventh day is going to be. Well, it's mm-hmm. you know, it just might be beyond our comprehension. It's so amazing.
Oh, for sure.
You know, these
I mean,
words that we share are very, very, very important. Because they're not our words, they're his.
Correct. You're right. You're right. It's I heard you talking about Ecclesia, and growing up, you know, we hear Iglesia, and I believe that the word Iglesia came out of Ecclesia.
Well, Iglesia, if somebody could pronounce it that way, I guess. It's actually
yeah.
EKK, Ecclesia.
Well, Iglesia
yeah.
is a church in Spanish, and so it sounds very similar to Ecclesia. So I'm quite certain that's where it came out of. But where were you at, Larry? You talking about Ecclesia, and then I interrupted you. I apologize.
No, no, no. You didn't interrupt me. What I was saying was that, you know, when we get into, we know, you and I, the family, everybody in the chat room, is well aware that Yahusha spoke Hebrew, and he said, upon this mikra, you know, I will build, or upon this rock, I will build my mikra.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he was fulfilling the Moed Mikra. We know he acted as the Pesach Lamb. We know for Matzah, he ransomed our souls the following day in Sheol. And we know the third day he rose for Bikurim. That's the 3 days that is counterfeited in religious material as he was dead in a tomb for 3 days.
Right.
Well, I've seen the word used there in Greek. It's cardia. You know, when I think of the circulation of life or the cardiovascular system, the heart of, you know, your heart, I don't think about a cemetery, do you?
No, I think of life.
As an example, I live in Town Center. I live in Town Center here in Jacksonville. You've been here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a big cemetery. This is where all of it's happening.
Right.
You know,
right.
all the upscale malls and the shops and the people and all these things. You know, it's the circulation. It's the heart. It's the center. It's the circulation of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they take a term like cardia and they make him dead in a tomb for 3 days. They intentionally, and it has to be intentional. You don't accidentally do this stuff.
Right.
And the religious material and Christian religious material, you don't take a Pesach dinner and turn it into the Lord's Supper unintentionally when you know full well what it was. And, you know, these sometimes, you know, I mean, we're at pretty advanced stages here, some people.
Mm-hmm.
And we blow past these basics sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't know that Passover gives us eternal life, you know, that we walk through that door, that matzah perfects us, you know, removing the yeast from our souls. They don't know that.
Yeah,
you know,
and that first fruits, we get adopted into the family, and 49 days later, seven sevens later, what they call Pentecost, that they always do on the wrong day, by the way. They always do it on a Sunday. I guess by accident it might hit a Sunday sometimes, but it's seven sevens from that day. You're empowered.
You know what amazes me is, like, you know, it's seven invitations to meet with Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
He's the creator of the universe, creator of all that we see, right? Planet Earth, you know, planet Earth and solar systems and galaxies and so forth, and he's just asking seven times out of the year to meet with him. Not a big deal, not a big request, you know, just say. I mean, it's so sad that so many people find it inconvenient to do that, but yet they're willing to do everything else, you know, the Christmas holidays and all of this other stuff. you know, they totally don't get that Yahweh is all about having fun and partying, and it's a celebration, and, you know, it's really sad, actually. I mean, but here we have Dad, you know, the creator of the universe, asking us, hey, let's hook up seven times a year, you know, and it's like, why wouldn't you want to do that? Why not?
Well, I mean, that goes all back to the emptiness of religion.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons that Yahweh, you know, talks about religion as being a disgusting abomination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's unrealistic. It's a mockery of the truth. There's nothing real to it. You know, I kind of opened the show by talking about how you had laid out Hosea, where he says, never call me Lord, you know.
Right.
They'll never call me Lord again. You know, they'll actually, he says he wants to be welcomed as an Ishi. That's an individual.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that that's a very, very strong passage there. You know, when Yahweh says, and it shall be in that specific day, prophetically declares Yahweh, you shall encounter and welcome, Korah, me as an individual, Yishi, and you will not call me my Lord ever again. Now, you know, that I love it. I mean, I understand that that's telling us he's not too fond of lording over people or people changing his nature to that of a Lord. But he's saying something else there, too, because that squashes the idea that he even wants to be put on a pedestal.
Right. And that also...
I mean, you're going to naturally look at him as awesome. There, I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Right.
You know, you're
and
going
also,
to give him...
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that also validates how... It validates that he doesn't want to be called the Lord because, I mean, if he's saying that he's going to remove this word from our vocabulary, right, we'll never say it again. So,
right, and he says it more than once. He talks about it in Yer Mayu as well.
Yeah, but it also proves that he realized who they were praying to and speaking to and calling upon, that the intention was him, that they were talking, they thought they were talking to him, but he had a problem with that, right? He had a problem with them calling him Lord, and he said he's going to remove that word from their mouth. So,
well, in Malachi, he says the same thing. He says a son highly values or esteems and respects his father, and a servant his master. So if I'm a father, where's my honor and esteem? I mean, you don't hide your dad's name. And
right. So
if I'm a Lord, where is my respect, says Yahweh, of the spiritual regiment to you, O clerics who despise my name?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's saying, you know, because you don't want to use my name, you want to run around, you want to call me Father, you want to call me Lord. I we've seen this in hundreds of debates, you know, where people go, you know, you tell them about Lord, so then they immediately switch from Lord to Father. I mean, I've seen this countless times, and you know, this has been tried before, and according to Yahweh, this is just more BS.
Right,
you know,
and so he can see through it. Yeah, and clearly he has a problem with it, and this is what the point of the post was, simply that, look, he doesn't want to refer to him as the Lord. He has no ambition to lord over anyone. And so don't call him that. And here's the proof. And, you know, he knew who these people were calling upon, but he still didn't accept it, right? And he doesn't want you calling him that. So don't do that. Well, you get one person reply back, oh, this is too complicated for me. I'm just going to keep calling him Lord.
Yeah. Real complex to call somebody by their name. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So... The thing
that we use that for, of course, all the time is to show people that he doesn't want to be called Lord, but it has an even much bigger meaning to me. When he's saying, I want to be greeted as an individual, he's saying he's not a religious deity.
Right.
You know, there's not a religious deity out there that doesn't want to be bowed down to.
Right. Yeah. And so it's so silly. It really is. I mean, and again, we've spoken about this in the past, but if you just look at family, just, you know, mother, father, and children, and that love. And I mean, it's all right there. Just look at family. You know, and I understand that some people, you know, may not have had a good upbringing, but, you know, I think there's plenty of good examples out there to look at. And it's all about family, you know.
Well, here's something from the Torah I want to read. It's Bereshith 17:17. And now, Yahweh is talking about Sarah here, okay? Mm-hmm. I will kneel down and bless her. Moreover, I will give you a son from her. Okay, that's 17:16. At this point, we find an absolute confirmation that the covenant relationship is a relaxed affair. And here it is. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he muttered to himself, a son born to a man who is 100, Sarah, a woman 90 years old, shall have a child. So Yahweh, who is incidentally the creator of the universe and the architect of life, makes a prophetic promise, and Abraham doubles over and falls down with laughter.
Wow.
And that's the covenant. The covenant is going to be an amazing thing. It's a fun thing. It is not religious activity or worship.
No worship. Right. Right.
And people that bring these concepts in, they bring in words like Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll justify it. You'll see a lot of people in the Messianic movements do it. They'll justify it by saying, Adonaiah. You know,
mm-hmm.
they did it. Well, gee, let's go out and let's imitate all the things that were wrong. Right? I mean,
right.
that makes a lot
right.
of sense, doesn't it?
Well,
and incidentally, anybody in the chat room or anybody listening, please feel free to call in. This is going to be a pretty relaxed night, just kind of going over things like this. But the number is 347-326-9553. And, you know, I want to say, I really think, I don't believe that people in the clergy believe in a creator. I don't even think they believe in. I think they're agnostic. You know, they're talking about, I believe, and I believe, and I believe. Now, we know that that's, you know, it isn't about faith or belief. It's about knowledge and trust.
Right.
You know, when you come to understand what Yahweh's done, and you understand he leads from the front, and you understand he never breaks a promise, and he never breaks his word, and you understand he can be counted on more than, you know, anybody you've ever met in your life. I mean, think about that.
No, it's true.
He can be counted on more than the person you know best in your life. Because even though they might try to do something, you know, they might fail at it. He's not even going to fail. You know, if he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it.
That's right.
You know? And he's not going to break his words. You know, the concept of the Masiah, Yahusha, running around sort of like this, you know, Monty Python type of figure, bumping into people looking to forgive them, you know, that's not what this is about. It's about fulfillments of promises. It's about doing exactly what he said he would do. And it's about breaking down the truth to people and the reality to people. You know, you look at religious material, and, you know, when they start saying Adam was the first man and he was walking, 6,000 years ago the first human was made. And, you know, we know he was the first human with Nesama,
mm-hmm.
you know, with a living spirit breathed into him, his nostrils, but he was not the first Homo sapien.
No, he wasn't.
When they talk about the flood, and the flood was worldwide, and it shows all these animals coming from all over the planet to this one place, you know, how did the kangaroos jump over from Australia, I wonder, you know? Would they take a magic carpet or something? We know that was a regional flood. He never says it was a worldwide flood. He had a perfectly good word for the entire planet. It was Taleb, and he didn't use that. He used Eris, which almost exclusively, I mean, it can mean land. It can mean any solid material, but, you know, as in land or soil, but it generally means region. And that's how he used it there. You know, so when we start looking at the religious copy edits, right, and we start looking at the people that are turning their living, you know, presenting these things to people in a delusional manner, and I think for the most part, you know, it's hard for me to imagine somebody doing this 20 or 30 years not realizing that they're tricking people intentionally, you know.
It's
hard for me to imagine that they are accidentally doing all this, you know.
Well, I think they're even you know, bold enough to admit it. I mean, you know, if you look at a lot of these,
some of them are.
If you look at the beginning, the preface of the Bible, it you know, it shows right in the beginning there, before you even get into, you know, Genesis, they even tell you that they've removed Yahweh's name. They removed it. They tell you that. I've seen it, you know, and so I'm like,
wow. Just lovely, isn't it? Now, we've got a caller that called in from 386 area code.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes.
Who is it?
That's Bob, Cristiano in Florida.
Hey,
how you doing, Larry?
Hey,
how are you doing?
Good. William, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Hey,
We're having a regular Florida fest here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Beautiful. First, I need to ask a little bit of a setup question before I ask the big question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Remember, you're not talking to Yada here. He's forgotten more than
I know.
No.
We know that Paul is an enemy of Yahweh, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I got a problem with sitting down for Passover with someone who is blatantly, to quote them, quote unquote, they love Paul. They observe the feast.
I wouldn't do it. Okay. I wouldn't sit down with them.
Neither would I.
Okay, because I am, correct me if I'm wrong, if someone is a Paul lover, then aren't they an enemy of Yah?
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because Yahweh says him and his followers are the road to death. Yeah.
Well, right. So I'm just wondering if that would be considered a spot in Yah's feasts, as we read in Scripture.
I think it would be. I think it would be. See, nobody that's going to carry Paul into the covenant is welcome. I mean,
yeah,
that's
right, right.
Happened.
Yeah, and
I mean,
I didn't know if I'm. Okay, because I'm thinking, all right, Bob, are you straining at a gnat here, or, you know, because we all sit down at these feasts, and we're all dented and nicked up and
flawed.
Bob,
you're standing on the truth. You know, I mean,
that's
another thing. This is a good one. Yeah, this is a good one to bring up. And I wish I had the passage. It's in Yada Yada. I've read it, and I've been meaning to make a note on it. You know, the passage, what I've found is the more often we hear a passage parroted, the more wrong
right.
it is. You know, it's like right. the story of the, you know, he who is without sin cast the first stone that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, that they threw in there in the 8th century. Or the nobody knows, not even the Son. Well, you might as well throw the whole
right.
book out the window because the Son and the Father are one. They say it
right.
countless times, you know. You know, when they make stories up like that. And one of them, one of the big ones, and we hear even atheists, I've heard atheists on TV quote this all the time. Judge not, lest you be judged.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I hear people very proud of the fact, I'm not judging you. Well, I judge
right.
things all the time. Now, imagine,
right.
imagine a God that told you, don't use judgment, don't use your head, Don't use your brain.
Right.
I mean, that's stupid on
yeah,
its face.
Everybody immediately thinks when you're judging, you're condemning.
You know, yeah, well, I do condemn, too. I condemn.
Well,
I do. Gladly. I really do. What it says is separate others away or you'll find yourself separated. And so when the guy drags Paul in, let's say, okay, he's one of these guys that thinks Paul is just badly misunderstood, right?
Right.
He really talked about the Moed Mikra and the seventh-day arrest and that lone path being the Moed Mikra. And everything else he talked about got convoluted somehow. You know,
where
I don't see path, I don't see one instructive thing that Paul ever says. I mean, really instructive.
You know, I was born and raised Baptist for 50 years. And just the other day,
you're a young man,
Saturday,
too.
Right. My wife and I are in the Word last Saturday. We get a knock on the door. I didn't answer it, of course. And sure enough, someone left a track in my door. And it's from a new Baptist church starting up. And, you know, of course, I chuckled. I went through it. And, you know, there's a section there, how to be saved. And, you know, you're all familiar with that. And every scripture was a Paul verse. You know, and I had to chuckle. And I go, you know, here you are. You want to know how to be saved, and it's all Paul, nothing from Yah and Yahusha. You know, you would think the creator of the universe, you know, might have a little insight on the salvation thing. But no, we're going to hook our lucky stars up to Paul's wagon. You know, it's just unbelievable.
You think? Yeah. Well, you know, they'll often misquote Yahochanan, too, where he says, he that believes is saved. Well, you know, Yahusha straightened that little verse snippet out, too. He says, how do you say you believe in me and not do what I do? And then we can look all through the prophecies that talk about him. He was 100% Torah observant. He's the living Torah. The Torah comes from his lips. The clerics should search those scriptures for what's coming out of his lips. You know, and it's all Torah. It's Torah. You know, it sounds like the Japanese movie when they were bombing Pearl Harbor. Torah.
You know, I try to talk to this person about Paul, and I can't get a word out, and their response is always, oh, you're taking them out of context again.
Well,
and
you know what?
What about when he was on the road to Damascus and he claims he's seen this light, right? He's seen this light, and the light quoted Dionysus.
Right.
I mean, how do you explain that? I know Yahweh would never quote a pagan deity.
Well, when somebody gives me a response like that, I go, you know, that tells me three things. You don't know what Yah taught or said. You don't know what Yahusha said, and you certainly don't know what Paul said either to make a comment like that.
Well,
you know,
I have to agree with that. I've got countless notes on Paul. Countless notes. Here's a good one. Here's a beautiful one. Now, let's look at Matanyahu, and this is what Yahusha said. He's talking to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the clerics, and he says, you are witnesses unto yourself. He was talking to the rabbis. You serpents, you are born of poisonous snakes. How will you escape the damnation of Sheol?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I send prophets, wise men, and scribes. You murder them. You crucify them, scourging them in your assemblies, persecuting them in your cities. So upon you shall come all the righteous bloodshed upon the earth, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. They killed Zechariah, you know.
Right.
And he says so right there, between the temple and the altar. Now let's go to Paul. This is the very group of rabbis, Paul, that Yahusha was talking to. Now this is an Acts. Now this is written by his historian, Luke. But then, having been nourished in this city from beside Gamil, which is
right.
Gamliel, okay, meaning to deal completely in recompense of God's feet. He was raised at his feet, being brought up and trained as a child. You know,
right,
I mean, he
right.
speaks in, you know, these loving tones about the very leader of a group of rabbis that Yahusha called the offspring of serpents.
Right.
I mean, I don't have to hear
you
what
know,
Paul says at that point, you know.
Yeah, and you know, and I say to myself, you know what, I don't care if Paul, Yahokanan, Matthias, I don't care if everything they say is 100% correct, I'm still not going to follow them. I'm going to follow Yahusha. I can't
well, here,
go wrong.
Here you got Yahusha. Now,
true.
I want you to think about this. We know that Yahusha... Thus Yahusha, they don't live in the constraints of time. So when they
right.
tell us that something's going to happen, it's because they've already seen it. You know,
right.
they're reporting back to us what they've seen. This isn't some kind of Vulcan mind meld. This is just science.
Right.
You know,
right.
this is a being of light traveling at the speed of light, sees the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. And he's reporting back to us what he's already seen. Now,
right.
when Yahusha says to us, if some guy comes to you and he says he's been with me in the desert or the wilderness, don't believe him. He's a liar.
Right, right.
Okay? And then you present that to these people. I don't have to think about what Paul said. You know,
right.
other than the fact he said he met with Yahusha, that makes him a liar. Now, somebody's
no,
a liar
absolutely.
There. Either Yahusha is a bumbling buffoon, I guess that's how they make him out to be, right? I mean, he's got to
right.
be this sort of bumbling idiot that doesn't mean what he says. Or
he's
the creator of the universe, he means exactly what he says. Now, I fall in the latter of the two categories.
Right.
And so when he gives me these warnings, and he lays them out there as warnings, he's not laying them out there to
right.
waste his breath.
Right, right.
You know, and then you got to ask yourself, why was it that Marcion used all of Paul's letters to invent the concept of the book he called a New Testament?
Yeah.
I mean, why didn't he
yeah,
use Matanyahu?
Yeah, it just amazes me. And you know, again, you know, I was, you know, like born and raised Baptist, 50 years. You know, and before I discovered, you know, Yah and stuff, I never knew there was an option. I never
now,
heard
of
any of this stuff before.
Yeah, I didn't either. How did that happen, Bob? What made you look?
Well,
I mean,
I'll tell you how it happened.
To realize there's something wrong with the circus, I think. But
well, for the longest time, I felt, you know, I'm missing something here. There's got to be more to this than, you know, going through the New Testament, quote unquote, and, you know, Paul and, you know, stuff. I've been through it 8 zillion times. Well, one day I had a client at my house, and as I walked him to the front door, he turned to me and said, you know, God has a name. It's Hebrew. And at the time he said, it's Yahweh. And I says, cool. You know, my first response was, you know, I received it. But I didn't pursue it for about 3 months. And then a fellow doctor friend of mine, every time she would close her correspondence with me, she would close with, Yah bless, Yah bless. And I said, all right, that's it. I got to look into this. Yeah, so I started looking into it, and, you know, I went on the Internet, and, you know, that's a double-edged sword with misinformation and over-information, but I stumbled into Yada Yahweh, and that's how it started, and it's been wonderful ever since. But you know, prior to that, I didn't know he had a name and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the deception is just overpowering. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Oh, they go out of their way to hide it. They go out of their way.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't have to
do a good
erase
job,
name 7,000 times, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a good job at erasing it and covering up. It's unbelievable. And it just,
you came to the name. Okay, so
right.
you go, okay, this is, you weren't saying Yahweh at the time, but you were saying Yahweh the same way I did it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. I went on, you know, and then in every time I was in the Word, and I mean Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, you know, he took me on my own journey, so everything was about the name. When I got that, understood what it meant and all that, and all everything behind it, and then the next thing that was jumping off every page was, you know, walking away from, you know, pagan gods and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when I found out the truth
of,
when I found out the truth of Christmas, I dumped it immediately. I mean, instantly. And, you know, I told my wife, let's go. That's it. It's over. I said, and we had some pretty nice Christmas stuff, too. And I said, you know, maybe we should sell it. And then I go, no. That's just going to keep
garbage where it belongs, right?
I put it out roadside in the garbage, and that was it. So, you know, and then I just kept pressing on. And I got to tell you, it was a little scary in the beginning. You know,
When I made up my mind, I mean, I was reading Yada Yahweh. That's exactly where I started. I mean, I'd been looking for a long, long time when I found that site, and I said, wow, this actually is real. You know, we're into his words. And like I said at the start of the show, Yahweh doesn't expect a lot out of, you know, William or Larry or Bob. He does ask us to seriously consider his words. Now, that's what he expects of. I mean, that's
right.
The point here. And so I was reading it, and I had this big, beautiful, I forget what it was called, something, scriptures, the living scriptures, gold leaf Bible, I mean, you know, kind of thing you pass on down. You know what I did? I walked down and threw it in a dumpster. I said, I'm done with this shit. And it is.
You know,
that's just what it is.
Yeah, I'm going to admit something.
I threw it in a dumpster.
Go ahead. Admit something. I'm ashamed to admit, but I got to say it anyway. You know, when I first started diving into this stuff and, you know, observing the coming to understand the mitzvah and the terms and conditions, all that, you know, that was foundation rattling and stuff. But then the evidence of Paul started to roll in. And I remember it was 2:30 in the morning with my head in my hands and just crying out saying, oh, Father, don't tell me Paul's a creep now, too. And that's what I'm more ashamed of, because when I found out the truth about Paul, that upset me more than the fact that I didn't know Yah's name and wasn't, you know, calling on it and stuff. Not that I wasn't upset about that, I was, but the thing about Paul upset me more. But it was at that point that I knew the grip Paul had on me. And I remember Yah telling me, not in an audible voice, of course, but Yah telling me, forget about rattling and shattering your foundation. I'm going to yank the whole thing right off from underneath you, and it's just me and you. And I said, beautiful, let's have at it. And, you know, it's never been
well, you know, Yada said the same thing. He said when he realized that Paul was actually saying that there were, you know, two covenants.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's one covenant. I mean, that's
right.
Clear.
Yeah.
He said it broke his heart. And,
yeah.
Of course, you know, Yada and Craig, unlike the rest of us, you know, had books, you know, with
right.
Paul's quotes in them and everything else. I mean,
right.
he had to actually man up and say, I've been wrong, you know, to the whole
right.
world, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to correct myself, but this is what should be done when we're wrong.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
exactly.
Because none of us are 100% right. But
the perplexing part of it is that nobody does anything. Well, I shouldn't say nobody because we did, but the average person just won't do anything. They just won't. You know, it's just
right.
really sad. They won't. They'll just.
But I think that goes back to I don't think the average person really believes Yahweh's words.
Right.
No.
And you can't say you believe. I believe in God. I believe in Yahweh, and I don't believe his words. I mean, it just doesn't work like that. That's how he talks to us.
They're
it's through his words.
God, they claim to be following, exactly.
You know,
just,
so how does somebody do that?
You know, I tell
you know,
people when I'm... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bob.
You know, when I'm sharing with somebody, I'll tell them, look, I'll tell you what. why don't you just set the New Testament aside for it? Take a 90-day challenge. Set the New Testament aside and just immerse yourself in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And just see where Father leads you. And I said, you know, you can always pick it up later, the New Testament, if you want, but I guarantee you, you won't be the same if you do that. Just do it for 90 days. Nah, not interested. You know, it's like, all right, I'm out. You know, have a nice day.
Well, you know what? If I could never read, and I will openly admit this, I could never read or make sense of an English-based Old Testament. I couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
And you know, when you start looking at Yahweh's words and what he's saying, vice what's in a common English-based book named after the sun goddess Biblia, you can see why that would be.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't even make, it's a bunch of, once you remove the name, for one thing, you have passages that are just, unbelievably, they sound like religious dribble.
Yeah, well, you know, that's removing the key of knowledge. You take away the name, you just remove the key of knowledge. You know, and that's what happens.
Yahweh clearly states that anyone who doesn't know his name is not his family. He says his family will know his name. But yet
he says his family will love his name.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I've come to understand why that is. You know, I mean, have you ever sat around in Messianic groups? I've never done it,
No, I've heard enough of their dribble.
Yeah, because what's the first thing you get out of them? Ha, Messiah! And, you know, they'll say Adonai and all the rest of it. Some of them won't do that. But it's Ha, Messiah! And you know, we're not even supposed to be focusing on his physical. Apparently, we're supposed to focus on the entire fulfillment of the Moed. You know, the bigger picture.
Sure. Absolutely.
But you know, we know it's Messiah. And I can present that to them. I can show it to them that in Paleo-Hebrew, it was Messiah. It could not be confused with Messiah. It could later, after, you know, the Hebrew language was corrupted and you go into Babylonian Hebrew and Aramaic, which was the Babylonian language of commerce, apparently. You know, so, yeah, then you could confuse it, but there was no confusion whatsoever. Messiah, you know, the one who does the work of Yahweh. Very clear.
Yeah, pretty
and
pretty simple.
You can't get over the Ha Messiah, the religious sounding and then playing religious dress up and blowing a shofar. You know.
I mean, years
as
ago,
what it is that makes
like, you know, when I was a Christian before, I know, I would hear someone say, Adonai, like you hear it in a song, like Adonai, and I would say, oh man, that is so spiritual and so tender, and, you know, until I found out what it is, it's like, oh my goodness, man, I am way out of here.
You know, you go into the Marsal that says, don't let me say who is Yahweh, lest I be disinherited, you know, Yarish, caught in the act of and arrested and incarcerated for tapas, removing without permission and carrying away by stealth, Ganav, the personal and proper name of my Elohim. Okay? Now, if Yahweh really didn't care about his name being taken away, why would he disinherit those who follow that and he would actually incarcerate the people who did it? I mean, it's obviously a very big deal. And I could put that in front of 100 people, and 100 of them go,
ugh. Hey, you know, I had two friends of mine. They're longtime friends, 10, 12-year friends, clients. And we had them over for a Feast of Trumpets last year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, went through the feast and everything, and everything said, and I had them read it, was Yah's word, out of Yah's word. I made sure that none of it was Bobology, so to speak, okay? And, I mean, we went out for like 2.5 hours. And about the name and the feast and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, they left, and again, these are longtime friends of mine. Didn't hear a word from them for a month. Finally, I get a call from the wife.
Have you ever been dissed?
They still go to the church I walked away from. But anyway, she gives me a call, and she goes, well, you know, we went to the pastor with this stuff that you were telling us, and it's his conclusion and ours that you and your wife are in a cult. I says, okay, that's all you got out of that. Okay.
The cult of following Yahweh's words. It's a horrible cult. It's the one very few people are in, and it's not popular now, but it's going to be in about 20 years. We've got a caller, too, that called in from 916.
Okay, I'll go.
Feel free to chime in.
Okay.
No, you don't have to leave, Bob. You can stay on.
Okay,
no,
I'll just listen.
Hey, no, I'm enjoying you being in here. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Peace. Yeah, this is Kyle. I'm just enjoying the bill, too, so I'm just listening. And thanks for
okay.
No. Yeah, cool. All right.
Do you have a question? The gentleman from 916.
Kyle, yeah. No question. Just enjoying the bill, like I said. Got some nice jewels. Just listening.
Awesome.
Okay. Well, thanks. We appreciate
What's
it.
What's your
Kyle?
Name? Kyle? Okay.
Kyle. Yeah, exactly. A Hebrew verb meaning to be, God is. So you guys are right on time. I always enjoy listening to you on the phone.
Awesome.
We try to be.
Ain't no time.
Hey, so, Bob, did your friends ever come back? I mean,
no.
Or did they decide that your house just wasn't a place to be anymore?
Well, they wanted to come back for a checkup, and, you know, I got the wife on the phone, and I go, look, I want to ask you a question. And, you know, one of the things, and now, mind you, this is the church I walked away from. The pastor one day said, you know, God's name really is Yahweh. And I said, okay, we're getting somewhere now. You know, and then we walked away from the church after that, and these friends of mine said, oh, you know what the pastor said Sunday? I go, no, what? That the true Sabbath is on Saturday. I go, okay, doesn't a red flag go up here with anybody or what? Now, here's a guy. Now, here's a pastor. And this would fall right in line with Malachi, I think, here. Here's a pastor who obviously knows some truth, but he's not preaching.
Yeah, like I said, I think it would be unfathomable that somebody would spend 30 years or so. I'm imagining he'd been around a while.
The pastor doesn't want to pay decrease, Bob. He doesn't want his pay to decrease. That's all. You know, and it's sad.
And one of the opening lines the pastor always says, especially if there's newcomers to the church, he says, here at this church, we follow hard after Jesus. So, okay, so I've got my friend on the phone who called us cultists. And I said, look, I want to ask you a question. I said, when the pastor says you follow hard after Jesus, what does that mean to you? She goes, well, it means we try to do everything that Jesus does. I go, well, he was Torah observant. And he was the teacher of the Sabbath, and he observed the Sabbath. I go,
he was
Hadamar.
He was the Torah come to life.
Yeah, I said, so why don't you guys, why don't you follow after that? And the response was, oh, he did away with all that. He annulled it.
Wow.
I go, no, and then it's just like, all right, whatever. And, you know, I'm out. I'm done. I'm exhausted with you, with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can
and it's just
that.
Frustrating. You know,
well, I love it when we talk about the whole Jesus thing, and then you, I don't care who it is or how smart you think you are. I mean, you can Google the letter J and just tell me how old it is, and you'll find out it's approximately 500 years old, and then just do the math. If Yahusha walked the planet 2,000 years ago, and that letter didn't come into play approximately 500 years ago. Well, there's a 1,500 year difference there. It's an impossibility. His name is not Jesus.
Yeah, the Hebrew Messiah had a Greek name. Brilliant. How did that happen?
They don't want to know.
And
it's
you can
simple.
Show them all the passages in Yah's word about, you know, what's going to happen to those who worship pagan deities, and they still do it.
And it's not even just worshiping the pagan deities. Look, it's you know, this isn't magic. When I say that I'm going to go over and I'm going to go ahead, I'll meet you on Sunday at noon, I'm not memorializing Sunday. I realize it's a pagan name, you know, and based on sun worship and all that. It's sadly, that's what people understand here. And I don't think Yahweh's going to take points away from Lair for doing that. Although I'm not going to be judged on the point system. If I was, I'd be dead. Okay? But he's leading us away when he tells us, and this is one of my favorite lines, you know, in Dabarim, in words, he says, surely the person who proclaims a message on behalf of a deity who oversteps their bounds to speak words in my name, which I've not instructed nor directed him to speak, and who speaks in the name of other gods, indeed, that prophet shall die. You know, this isn't magic. He's leading us away from words like the cross, the pagan symbol.
Sure.
You know, amen,
sure.
Lord,
sure.
Sacred, you know, gospel of grace, holy, faith, Bible.
Right.
These are the things, these trash words that we hear come out of the mouths of the religious. He's leading us away from these clowns. And they are clowns. They are clowns at some point.
You know, one thing that when I first started emailing Craig about 7 years ago, one thing he said that has stuck with me, and it's so true. He says, religion removes one's ability to think rationally based on the evidence. And that is so true. You can have someone read what Yah says. Just read it right there. And they come back with, well, that's what it means to you. I go, come on. You don't want to know. It's that simple. You just don't want to
know. Well, one of the things I do a lot is, you know, you'll hear a lot of people in all types of religions say that they pray. They pray and, okay.
Right.
And then especially with the Christians, just say, my next question would be, so are you Torah observant? And they'll say, no. Jesus did away with that. But you agree that God doesn't change. That's right, God doesn't change. Okay. So that's already a contradiction. So then you show them the passage, I believe it's in Proverbs. I can't remember off the top of my head. But it speaks of those who are not Torah observant, their prayers are an abomination. Right?
Yeah, so it's in Proverbs.
You're not Torah observant. Your prayer is an abomination. Your prayers are not being
exactly.
Answered, period.
That's
period.
Right. That's a cold verse there for those people.
Well, no. My cancer was healed, and I prayed in Jesus' name, and blah, blah, blah. Well, it wasn't God.
Exactly.
Your cancer wasn't
well, there
healed,
are atheists
God.
Out there who've had their cancer healed, pal. I mean, that's just a fact.
Right.
You know,
well, you know, the enemy will do anything, including heal you, to lead you away from Yah and get him to get you to serve Jesus or Mary. I'll give you a real life example. You know, I'm a natural health practitioner, and I had a woman come in and, you know, doing my testing on her and stuff, and she showed me a picture of her. She was covered with psoriasis at one point in her life. I mean, head to toe, and that is a nasty skin disease.
Oh, sure.
And her skin
painful.
Was, and her skin was just clear as a bell. I says, man, what happened? You know, I want to know how you did that so I can help my other clients. She goes, in Conyers, Georgia, a number of years ago, they said the Virgin Mary was making an appearance, and we all went up there, and all you had to do was touch the statue. And she goes, I touched the statue, and, you know, my psoriasis went away. You know, and I said to myself, well, okay, the enemy has another one. Now, who do you think she's going to be loyal to? The Virgin Mary.
Right. And,
so the enemy just did his work.
Right.
Yeah, well,
you know, that probably makes the Virgin Mary cry. Shed tears when people do stuff like that.
Sure.
You know, another verse that we often use, you know, we know that on the older parchments is, you know, in the Greek parchments, which is the oldest there is. The Aramaic books are just a copy edit. They just recopy back into Aramaic, try to fix Paul's mistakes. That's what they try to do. It's funny. I mean, I guess I could rewrite anything to say anything if I can do that. But, you know, that the verse in Matanyahu where it says, not anyone calling me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm.
Of course, they copy it to not everyone calling me Lord. And then it goes on about they take out Torah, they replace Torah with evildoers. You know, and this is something, you know, that we show people, or I show people in these notes on FB all the time. You know, just to try to say, now, why did they do this? Wouldn't you want to look at the older verse and see what it really said? But, you know, there's a bigger picture in there. Because these people are saying, Lord, Lord, did we not speak inspired utterances and prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform mighty miracles in your name? And then at that time, I will profess to them, I never knew them. You must depart from me. This is the hubris of religion. That's the ultimate hubris of religion right there. In other words, these people are going to debate the creator of the universe as to whether he knew them or not.
Right.
I mean, think of this. The insanity. You know, if I was standing in front of Yahweh and he says, I didn't know you, I would say, wow, I've been had. You know, yet these people are, you know, how is it Bob or Kyle William or Larry is going to debate these people? Because we don't stand a chance. They're going to stand in front of the creator of the universe and tell him he knew them.
That's a good insight there. That's a really good insight. That just took away a lot of my frustration right there.
You don't stand a chance, Bob.
No,
nobody does.
That's good. I like that. I got to remember that.
Well, yeah, it's just the ultimate. These guys, they kill me. They slay me.
Yeah.
You know,
they're going to argue
show
with
them
the creator of the universe.
Said, you know, you're going to go out and argue with Yahweh about it. You know. Oh, it's outrageous. It is outrageous. But,
I just think small.
Well, yeah, it is. You know, and there's so many little paths now. You know, you get into the groups and they start out with the name. And then, you know, there's a big percentage of people that want to hold on to religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to take the name and then they just want to carry it right into the family covenant.
Sure.
And of course, you know, Yahweh's seen the infection of religion. We've all seen it. And it isn't just the billions of souls that religion has killed. Look at the wars. Look at the Inquisition. 1,400 years of rape, murder, theft. You know, I mean, if you didn't bow down to the Catholic Church for 1,400 years, you know, and give a certain percentage of, well, they probably took everything from you when you died. You know, I mean, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you didn't give to them, you were an enemy. I mean, they had people who tortured for a living. You know, my grandfather, his grandfather, my great-great-grandfather. You know, I've been in a long line of torturers, you know, where I put people to the test, you know. And well, no, you can look them up. You know, you see all the breast ripper and, you know, all these tools they used, you know.
Right.
That are common knowledge today. And so, you know, you look at what religion has done. You know, I often look at, I say, you know, it's hard for me to imagine what's impoverished people more. You know how religion always runs around acting like it's helping the poor, which all of us have been to churches. We know better than that. You know, the most successful people go to dinner with the preacher, right? Isn't that what happens every Sunday? And then you got some guy sitting there who can't pay his electric bill. And they got a benevolent fund with about $700 in it. And they got a building fund with $115,000 in it. Even a little small church. Right? because they can't wait to make the building bigger. You know, they can't get enough people in there, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. They want the big church on the block. And, you know, right? Isn't that what we see?
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what I saw in all of them I walked into. They had more of a building fund than they did a benevolent fund. So I think about the trillions of dollars that have literally been pissed away on religious buildings.
Oh, yeah.
Think of that. Think of how that has impoverished millions or billions.
Yeah, that's what I tell that to my friend. I go, okay, you know, you got a pastor, he gets paid, he's got a retirement, he's got benefits, you got a church, you got insurances, utilities to pay, blah, blah, blah. I go, none of that's of Yah. None of it. Not one bit of it. And you wonder why you're in the boat you're in. But you know, it doesn't matter. Personally, I think to most people, this whole quote-unquote God thing is a game. It's a joke. They don't really care. They go to church and get their ears tickled for 20, 30 minutes, and that's it. You know, whenever something goes wrong, it's, oh, God, please help me. And then it's back on the shelf with him.
And
that's just
right.
It. I'm sorry.
Santa Claus. He's more like Santa Claus. Yeah, I'm here to rescue you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they just don't want to know. And that's sad. I mean, that's, in the, you know, like I tell my sister, I go, you read it here where it says, observing the Sabbath is a sign, Yahweh says, that you belong to me. Okay, so now you don't observe the Sabbath. You go to the bail box every Sunday. I go, what makes you think, you know, you belong to him? It don't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he doesn't mean what he says.
No.
You know, here's Malachi. You got to love this. I'm going to share this because this fits right in with us. And it's a note people on FB have seen 100 times. But here it is. Does Elohim exploit and rob man? But indeed, you all exploit and rob according to me. But you ask, in what way do we exploit? You know, how do we, by force or deception? And Yahweh answers, the tithe and the offering. Your perspective is based upon appearance, but you actually extort his people. And then he says, return with all the tithe to the storeroom. Now, who's he talking to? The clergy. He's talking to the clergy. He's not talking to anybody else. Return with all the tithe to the storeroom so that there will be freshly harvested food in my houses. In other words, return what you've stolen. Because the tithe isn't yours. It's designed to feed my family. Now, today, neither Yahweh's house nor a storehouse exist. They were destroyed by the Romans in 70 CE. Most of us don't work the land, so we don't grow crops, and we don't herd sheep. Very few of us live in the promised land. And even if we did, most of Israel was sold by the Romans in 135 CE as a result of the false prophet Rabbi Akiva and his wannabe Masiah, Simon Bark, Kakba. So, as is the case with much of the Torah, we can't test Yahweh, you know, on this because, you know, the storehouse is gone and we don't produce food growing it and there's no storehouse to put it in. But yet, they will take a verse right out of there to tell you you should be given 10%.
Exactly. Well, you know, I fell for that for years. You know, same thing. Yeah, I didn't know better. You know, and that brings up another question I got. Why is it, or how is it, that when some of us are exposed to Yah, we received it joyously, and others, they're hostile to it? That I don't get that. What is that? Because then I'll get a Christian telling me, well, it was God that opened your ears and gave you a thirst for his word. I go, what, so he didn't give everybody else a thirst for it, just me? I go, come on, that doesn't even make sense.
I think that was just a choice. People like you and me and William and everybody else sitting in the chat room and Kyle here on the phone, what we did was just we realized that there was something seriously wrong with what we were hearing, it wasn't adding up. It didn't jive. And there are people that care about truth. Those are the people Yahweh cares to be around. Mm. You know, he's not talking about, you know, you break down religion, and what is it religion's always worried about? Well, they seem, to me, they seem concerned about a couple of things. One, they seem to be concerned about the amount of money that you give them. You know, that's got to be number one on the hit parade.
Of course.
And number two, they're worried about your sex life, it seems to me.
Right.
You know. And three, that you might drink on top of that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and yeah, last I checked, Noah was a winemaker. You know, he grew grapes.
Right.
You know, I don't know what it is about those people, but they are like a terminal with this thing.
What about this verse here,
some
Barry?
Friend of his that was worried about looking at a woman's breast or something. Show me a beautiful breast, I'll tell you I'll look, you know. Go ahead, William. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying in Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah, to those who are guests in the chat room tonight, 56:2, it says, the Son of Man strengthens, establishes, restores, and renews with it. Now, this is speaking of the Torah, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But he did away with it, though.
Right, of course.
He didn't do away with anything. Yahusha was fulfilling
those
three Moed Mikra.
Right.
No, I know you were. Look, one of the great, let me see if I can find it here in my notes. Now I'm going to have a hard time. You guys keep talking while I'm looking here. But when you start talking about coming into the family, one of the things that Yahweh talks about is that people who are family actually love his name. They don't just know it. They love it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And now that I'm on that path, you remember the path you used to hear about, that the righteous man's path is attacked on all sides? Remember that?
Right. Yeah.
Have you experienced that?
Yes.
All the time. Yeah, I think you're looking for Yeshayahu 52:5-6, and it says, his political and religious rulers have become deluded fools, prophetically declares Yahweh, continually, every and all day, that my name is to be despised, rejected, and treated with contempt, and so therefore my family shall know my name.
Well, I was talking about Yeshayahu 56:6-7, where he says, children from foreign nations, that would be us, who form a relationship with Yahweh, serving him and loving, and we serve him by doing what? By getting his word.
Serving the Torah, right.
Yeah. Yahweh, serving him and loving Yahweh's personal and proper name. It says so. Loving Yahweh's personal and proper name, who carefully observe and revere the Shabbat and do not treat it with contempt, those who are passionate about and are empowered by the familial covenant relationship. I don't see any religion in there.
Right.
These I will bring to my set-apart mountain, rejoicing in my home and tabernacle of prayer. Their offerings will rise up and be accepted, because my house shall be called a house of intercession for all people. There it is. So without the love of his name, and I do get the love of his name, because I tie in Yahweh, just as you do, Yahusha and Masiyah. You know, I mean, I love it. Now, can you imagine, you've got Yeshayahu, you got Matanyahu, you got Eliyahu, you got Zechariahu, you know, on and on. You got this list of men, okay, that are speaking on behalf of Yahweh, but yet Yahweh in a diminished form changed his name to the Aramaic Babylonian Yeshua. And didn't even put Yah on his own name.
Right.
Now, would you find that believable?
No.
No, I don't find it believable. He even says in Malachi, he says he's awesome and astonishing on the account of the presence of my name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's Yah and Yeshua.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
amazing.
You know, you get
the
tired
of
you know, you get people that's, you know, I'll have people that'll say, hey, Bob, you got to listen to this teaching and listen to that teaching. And, you know, I'll listen and this and that. And, you know, I'm constantly having to eat the meat and spit out the bones, so to speak.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I'm tired of that.
Yeah,
I'm over that, eating the meat and spitting out the bones. I'm just, you know, just Yah's word, period. I don't need another man's teaching.
Right. So, and before I mention the one who turns his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That's in Masal, word picture, Proverbs 28:9. For those who are guests, I don't know if we're still live or not.
Oh, we are until 9 o'clock. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to get that out there because I know I mentioned it before. And for those who are guests, that's what we're doing here. So please, I mean, if this is your first time listening, you know, we encourage you to go ahead and do your due diligence, do the research. You know, don't trust us. Find out for yourselves if we're telling the truth or not. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't keep going to, you know, see your pastor every Sunday, giving them your money, and thinking that you could buy your way to eternal life. It doesn't work that way.
You know, I don't think most people think they can buy their way to eternal life, but I do think that they feel like they owe it. It's almost extortion. It's like what he called it, extortion.
Yeah.
They feel somewhat extorted. Sure. I did.
Well,
yeah,
that's why they push church membership, so once you become a member, they can press you to commit on a tithe.
Mm. Right.
And so,
right, but
yeah,
they make
that's
you feel
that,
guilty about not paying that tithe.
Well,
it makes you feel really guilty about it. Oh, you know, you got to give God what's due to him, what's his. And I'm like, man, you know, I got kicked out of a church on that one.
Isn't that what Jehovah said there? He said you extort based on appearances?
Right,
That's exactly what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an extortion racket. And the truth is that paying a tithe, is, I don't know, akin to giving heroin to a junkie to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're helping somebody commit sin, so, I mean, aren't you sinning? I mean, you're missing the mark.
Yeah.
So
you
it
know,
would be
like William says,
pay a tithe.
Yeah, you know, if there's any new listeners out there and stuff, you know, like William says, just do a little research. You know, it doesn't take a lot. You know, you're certainly capable of looking up word definitions and so on and so forth. And, you know, even when I was, are we still, can you guys still hear me?
Oh, we're still live.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, even when I was reading Craig's stuff, I said, all right, mm-hmm. you know, I'm liking this, but, you know, I don't believe any man. So I just started looking stuff up, and I go, wow, there it is right there, just what he was saying. Another deception, you know, here it is right there, and it's just, you know, I don't have a boatload of tools, you know, to do
well,
to
you
do
know,
the work
it's a hard thing to grasp. It's hard to fathom. You've been told that there's this army of scholars, okay, and they were put together to get you the Word of God. Isn't that what they tell you? I mean, really?
Sure.
That's the sales pitch. And then come to find out, these people are all copy editing off of each other, and the first people that did it had the very intent of misleading you. So all the copy edits come from, you know, misleading that took place, 1,300 or 1,700 years ago.
Right.
And then you look at an English-based Bible and you start looking at the actual scripture, covenant. And you know, Yahweh's words are always dictated. You know, he dictates them as somebody's writing them down. There's another thing on Paul. Paul was always talking about Paul.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
If you look at Zechariah as an example, he'll say, here I am. It's the second year of the eighth month of King Darius of Persia when the word of Yahweh came to me. Here we go. Boom.
Saying, yeah. Saying.
He's just writing.
Right.
You know, he digs it, he writes it. You know, he doesn't say, I, Zechariah, am the rabbi of rabbis. You should listen to me. my words are very important. You know, he doesn't see his words as very important, I'm sure. Like Mose.
Right.
I'm sure Mose didn't see, Mose didn't even want to be a spokesman. You know, he says,
right.
You know, I got this thick tongue. I'm in bad shape over here. I have no business speaking on behalf of Yahweh. I know Larry Hendricks has no business speaking on behalf of Yahweh. I don't. I let his words
right.
do the talking.
Exactly.
Know? But, you know, I might have a little side commentary like Craig does, you know, or like Yada
right.
does. But, you know, it's Yahweh's words that I'm going to pay attention to. And
exactly.
you know, like me or don't like me or decide that I'm, you know, whatever. I've been damned to hell 1,000 times. I mean,
yeah,
believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell someone, look, are you telling me that you are incapable of looking up a definition of a word, and so you need your pastor? You don't need your pastor. God, you
I
know,
love
are you,
when they come
are you
back
incapable?
At me and they go, well, pastor said this, and pastor said
yeah.
that.
Now,
yeah.
Well, have pastor look up Moed Mikra and Ecclesia and explain how that became a religious institution replete with clerics and religious books and religious
yeah.
paraphernalia and pagan
pastor
symbols.
Pastor said we're under the new
over.
Covenant. So then you take them to Jeremiah 31:31, and you ask
right.
them to explain that, right? You know, and then
uh-huh.
no, you're interpreting that wrong. And then you show them
Jeremiah
31:33, I will place by way of gift accordingly my Torah in their midst, right? Midst. I will write it on their minds and hearts, and I will exist to them as Elohim, and they will exist as my family. Well,
exactly.
You have the Torah written in your heart. You don't even observe it, right? You know.
Right.
They're like, oh, can you recite, you know, what you call the Ten Commandments by heart? No. You know, it's just like it goes on and on. So it's like, you know, it gets frustrating. Why doesn't your pastor tell you that?
Well, we're coming to the end of the show. I mean, I'm going to stay on, but. I want to thank everybody that's been listening. I hope it was a pretty good way to start Shabbat. I mean, we get beat up a lot by a lot of people, and our path is attacked on all sides. It's attacked by every even Hebrew roots movement people. We're attacked by any organized religious group out there, including atheists and secular humanists, which is another religion in and of itself. And, you know, Yahweh's words are clear. They stand by themselves. They stand alone. They stand tall. And they can be trusted. And his name is our shield. And it really is our shield. Whether it's Mafia, Yahusha, Yahweh. You know, these are our tools and our shields. And go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt there. It's just, we're just on our way out, so. I wanted to thank everybody for listening and hope they enjoyed the show.
God bless the family, you know. God bless the family.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that was great. Thanks for listening to all my dribble. And,
No, it's not dribble.
In.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
People can listen to you go on for 3 hours with Yahweh's words and decide you're in a cult.
Right.
How in the world could they do that? You know, I ask myself this all the time. You know, here they are, they're saying they're praying to this God. Of course, they don't know his name or care for his name too much, right?
Yeah, perhaps you can help me. I don't know where the passage is, but Yahweh gave people up. He gave them over to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. You know, I forget where the passage is, but he says, "Yeah, I gave you up to do it. I'm going to give you the delusion since you insist." I've told you a million times to walk away from these.
I think that's in the New Testament. I know what you're talking about.
No, it's in Yahweh's words. I've seen it before too.
Yeah.
And I don't have a note on that one, so it's not one that I
yeah,
can
since,
easily.
Yeah, since you people insist on worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars, then have at it.
Yeah, have at it.
That's part of the reason. Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why they just can't make the connections.
Well,
I've been in
debates with people, and I say to them, since you insist, go right ahead. You're a delusional fool. Go right ahead. You know, that's what free will is about.
And you know, I mean,
you can become a serial killer if you want to be. Really, you can.
Sure.
You got free will.
Do your choice.
Go there and have at it. Do anything you want.
Yeah, doesn't Yao Kanan tell us that sin is a transgression of the Torah?
That's 1 John, verse 3 and 4. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so in other words, one would have to actually be familiar with the Torah to transgress it. So what about people that aren't even familiar with it? I mean, they don't have, they're gone. I mean,
they're hopeless. They're hopeless.
Yeah, I mean, they're gone.
I once had it.
That's actually the definition of sin in essence. I mean, it's
the definition of sin is missing the mark.
Right.
Missing the mark.
Right.
You know, I mean, and people miss the mark all day long. I had a debate with a group. There was like, I guess there was about 6 or 7 of them. And it's when people were really discussing the Clement homilies. Clement was a disciple of Shimon. And, you know, he talked about, you know, Sheol throwing Jacob down a flight of stairs trying to murder him. You know, I mean, we can see why they didn't put him in their canon, you know. And
right.
Bottom line is, they were having some discussion, and Clement had said something about understanding, and, you know, you'd only be held accountable for the things you actually understood, or this or that. And some guy in this group said, okay, so that explains, like, say, if you're a pygmy, you'd still be okay, you know. And I said, are you guys serious? I said, Yah was real clear about anyone that doesn't show up for Pesach, you know, and Matzah and Kippurim, and, you know, those souls will be annihilated, you know. So you think that because the pygmy didn't know that, you know, he just knew a certain part of the Torah? What, I didn't know they had any Torah teachings with the pygmies. You know, I said, you people are laughable, but, you know, they jumped my case. And I said, oh, man, you know, but see, that's another religion. It's called political correctness, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You have
to
go along to get along. You have to compromise. It's like you're, you know, some political actor in the U.S. Senate, and you go ahead and make these compromises, you know, to be popular.
Yeah, you know.
Of course, I'm not too worried about it.
Another tack I take with people sometimes, you know, when I get blue in the face of trying to explain the name and such, I go, you know what? Why don't you show me in Scripture now where it's okay to call God by another name? You show me in Scripture where, you know, we don't have to observe the Sabbath and so on and so forth. Of course, they can't do that because they're not even in the Word. They don't study it.
You know, no, I've done it too. I've said, you know, show me where it says, go ahead and trash my name, call me by my enemy's moniker, and forget everything I've ever said. Show me that. You know, you're hateful. You don't understand. I mean, all I get's opinions. You know, I mean, you can rock 50. See, I love it when I do it on FB. You know, I'm copying and pasting script in, you know. I'm doing passages. You know, yeah, I've had it.
You know,
that's
another thing that puzzles me is I can understand someone accepting Yah. I can understand them rejecting Yah. What I can't wrap my brain around is that they don't want to know. I don't get that. That is a mystery.
Well, Bob, what do you do for a living? What do you do?
I'm a natural health practitioner. I'm a naturopathic doctor.
Okay. All right. And so your whole thing is knowledge, isn't it? I mean, it's knowledge-based.
Yeah.
You're actually trying to heal people with nutrition and,
correct.
You know, water intake and stretching and, you know, any number of other things. You know, rather than giving them over to the, you know, the big pharma and saying, go ahead, you know, ruin your liver.
The
take
sorcerer.
This, take that. Yeah, take the these 11 potions and die in 5 years. Yeah, no,
well, you know,
I get it.
I experienced the same kind of thing with people. For example, I was working on a guy. He was in a wheelchair, no feeling in his legs. And in a couple of months, I had tingling in his legs. And I didn't see the guy for like 3 or 4 months. He just, no way to get in touch with him. So I finally ran into him one day, and I said, "Where you been?" I says, probably another couple of months we'd have you out of that wheelchair. He goes, "If I get out of this wheelchair, I lose my disability check." And I says, "You know what? I can't help you anymore because there's a problem with your thinking processes." And that was the end of it. And it's the same thing with the with this yah stuff, or quote unquote. Their thinking processes are just gone, man.
Well, they're really at a point. They're really at a point where they're saying, "I'll take my religion over the truth." And
yeah,
I don't accept that. I don't think religion's done much. If you look at the history of religion, it has taken so much more than it has ever given.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What has
that's
it done?
A good point.
What has it done?
Keeps
locked
in a
box. Billions of souls are dead. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They're locked in the guilt box.
The guilt box. Hard putting me in there, let me tell you. I don't get guilty about a lot of things. I really don't.
Yeah.
religion
does make you feel guilty. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, religion's just an infection, and everything about it's wrong. I mean, one of the best things I ever came to find, and I found that, it hit me so hard when I read there that Yahweh said all fear of him was a man-made tradition learned by rote. And I said, Yahweh's not a religious deity. Wow. And our biggest problem is trying to separate people from religion and get to know Yahweh, his true nature, the one where he makes a prophetic proclamation and you fall on your face laughing at him. And he goes, I'll show you. And he's smiling too, and then the first kid gets named Laughter, right?
Oh, Larry, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I want you to tell me if what I'm saying is accurate, and I'll let you know what it was.
Yeah.
When I first came to know Yah and was understanding and the mitzvah and all that stuff, I remember telling full of zeal and excitement and telling friends and family about Yah, and I remember saying out loud that, man, my relationship with Father now is sweeter than it's ever been. And then I caught myself listening to that, and I said to myself, wait a minute, Bob. You never had a relationship with him before. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think it would be.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I mean,
what
if I didn't know his name.
What I think is that for those of us looking for the truth, and we're really reaching out, and we're really doing it in his words,
right.
I know that The Ruach Kodesh is working with our Nesama right there. So in that regard, maybe there's some relationship with Yahweh because we're turning towards him. And the Ruach's leading us.
But prior to that, we finally have
a relationship. It's nothing like what we thought.
I think back to
what I thought. And it was a dead relationship. You're right. There was no relationship. You're right.
Right. So my point is, it's like, I said to myself, oh my goodness, 50 years, born and raised Baptist, going to church, blah, blah, doing all that blah, blah stuff. I never had a relationship with Father. How could I? I didn't know his name.
No, you were doing the opposite.
What he was asking of me.
Yeah, no, you were running off and worshiping the Lord. You were part of it.
Right.
You were out there with Satan's family, basically.
Exactly. Right? So to play devil's advocate here, is religion that deceptive where you could be hook, line, and sinker in all your life and never have a relationship with him? I would.
Yeah,
have
right.
Say,
well,
yeah.
They're going
to
stand there and debate him. They're going to debate the
yeah,
creator
exactly.
of the universe. I mean, that's a strong delusion right there. You know.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
that's
telling
that,
you,
really
that's,
is.
That's a yeah. major drug.
I mean, they do it. They do it now. You know, they do it now when you show them his word, and they do the exact same thing. You know, they argue
yeah.
with you. You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with
exactly.
his words. So
exactly. I say, you know, you don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with God, man. You better take it up with him. Okay,
right.
run it by him. So let's see what he thinks about it.
I tell him that.
You know, forget up.
I tell him that.
Yeah.
You know,
and
hey,
it doesn't matter.
If you got a problem with his words, take it up with him. Don't take it up
like
with me.
I have a friend. He's pretty intelligent, right? He, you know, he's like, look, you know, you go to this scant material. You realize it's, you know, it's old. It's the oldest thing we have, right? The Qumran scroll, the Dead Sea Scrolls,
mm-hmm.
whatever, right? And so
mm-hmm.
they come up with, you know, let's say they find something that's older, right? And he went back to this, and what his point was is, like, inevitably you have to have faith. And I'm like, no, because when they come up with something that's older, I'll take it and I'll study it.
Exactly.
Just like we did with the Qumran scrolls, right? You just take it and you study it. You do the research, and you go as far as you can go. You dig as deep as you can dig, and you turn as many stones as you can turn over. And so he's just like, oh, but that's still faith because you really don't know. And I, you know, I just, it gets to the point where I don't want to deal with people like that no more. I
just because you can tell right off the bat, they really don't want to know. They just
want
to argue.
They don't
want to
know. They're just lazy. They don't want to put in the work. You know, and to me, it's not work. It's fun. I'm having a
yeah,
good time. I enjoy it. I look forward to
You're
tonight,
looking at, but, that, but that's
tomorrow.
A relationship. That's
right.
what it's based on.
I look forward
it's a
to
conversation.
It. I can't wait to do
you
this
know?
With you guys. I can't wait to dig into Yahweh's word, and I can't
yeah,
wait
yeah.
until tomorrow when I get that cup of coffee going and I'm digging into his word and spending time with him. You know?
Yeah,
it's,
man.
It's awesome.
Yeah, man.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, to
you.
Me, it's not work. It's fun. You know?
It's fun,
so,
man.
It really is.
All right, Bob,
really
are you on
is.
FB? Are you on FB, Bob?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Are you on my friends list? I don't even know. I mean, I have
I clicked on there, and I tried to. Yeah, I did that once.
Okay, let's see here.
Because I'd like to get on there and...
What's the last name there? Bob?
Cristiano.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I wanted to get on there when you're debating with these people just to give you a little backup. You know, so you're not alone.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I can always
it's
use
pretty,
a backup, Bob. Let me tell you.
It's pretty fun.
Not that you
fun.
Need me, but, you know, if, hey, we all got to cover each other's back here.
No, he actually
well,
needs
I'm not sure if you're on there. When I try to pull you up, Bob, I can't. Is it under
time,
Bob?
What?
Well, let's see. I've got your Facebook icon on my computer, on my desktop here. I'm going to click on it, and, you know, we'll go from there. It says, do you know Larry?
Okay.
So if I click on that, do you know Larry? And it says, add a friend. Am I the friend?
Okay, so
I'm
not,
adding?
Yeah, add. Add, yeah.
Oh,
go
okay.
ahead and add. It should come right
okay,
up.
Okay, request sent.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not
so.
Showing yet, but I'm sure it will here in a second. Unless they're trying
yeah,
to penalize yeah. you.
That's right. I'm being tracked.
They seem to do a lot.
Sometimes Let's Larry see. Needs the reinforcement, Bob, because
absolutely
they threaten to kick him off because he's exposing their he's
oh,
exposing
I'm worked up about
these pastors, and they're like, "Well, get you out of Facebook if you keep this up."
Right.
Well, I don't see it, Bob. It didn't come up. Let's see. Spell your last name for
me. Am I supposed to type my name in somewhere?
No, you're supposed to put add as a friend. And it didn't even show. Spell your last name for me, Bob.
Can you spell Christian? Just
mm-hmm.
put an O on the end. Cristiano.
Bob
you know, when
Cristiano.
I was...
It doesn't pull you up. I don't know why that is. Let's see. In FB, it doesn't pull you up.
Huh. Well, I'll figure a way.
I see New Wave Wellness Orlando.
Yeah, that's,
I see that.
Yeah, that's me.
But that's,
yeah, that's me.
That's
my business, actually.
Oh, you're in Orlando.
Well, I'm actually in Deltona.
Oh, okay. That's my
in between
my wife
Daytona
has
and Orlando.
All in Orlando. Yeah.
Yeah, about halfway between.
You know, we'll all have to get together for PSOC.
I would love.
Yeah, I sent you an email.
Awesome.
I sent you an email, Larry.
Right, Bob? And my tablet's acting up, but to answer your question, we'll be observing PSOC April 13th at sunset.
Yeah. Yeah, I got an
well,
email.
Why don't we all pick a spot to go to? And
okay.
Anybody that wants to, I mean, send me an email. I'm terrible with email. I will admit it.
All right.
But send me an email.
I already did send you one.
Yeah,
I
know you did.
I sent you one
about it.
Oh, okay.
Send me another one. And
okay.
Just put your phone number in, because I'm better at calling people. That's what I do.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
It's Larry62558@yahoo.com. And then maybe,
okay.
You know, and there's another woman that wants to get, there's a woman up in Savannah, Georgia that wants to get together with us all, too.
Yeah, and
oh,
Amy
cool.
does as well. Yeah, Amy wants to
yeah,
as well.
Cool.
So
we're just going to have to pick a spot, and we'll go to that house. I mean, I'll kick in money for the lamb or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
And,
all right.
Well, I mean, we can all kick in, whatever, you know.
Well, sure.
But let's pick a house, and we'll all come there and do it.
Okay.
Cool.
You know?
Cool.
Because
awesome.
I'm tired of doing it alone. I don't know about you guys, but I'm tired of it.
Well, I've been doing it with my brother and his wife.
That's awesome. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah,
man.
But his wife is the Paul lover.
Oh,
and I'm at a,
okay.
Yeah, I'm at a real crossroads, and I'm saying,
help
that's
me.
Why I asked that question. That's why I asked that question earlier. It's like, I got a real problem sitting down with somebody who's an enemy of Yah.
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, we can do it at my place. There's no Paul lovers here. You guys can come to Jacksonville.
Yeah,
I've had parties with as many as 60 people up here. It's big enough. I can do it.
Yeah, well, let's do it at your house, Larry.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I'm taking
fine.
Them 3 days
I'm here
off,
in Jacksonville.
I think.
Sorry, that's
yeah.
about 2 hours.
You're
going
to have a good trip coming up. If you got to come all the way up here, but I'll put you and the kids up if you want, William. You know.
Oh yeah. I got to talk to the wife because I think the kids have school like the rest of the week or whatever. But I'm going to talk to her now about it and see what we can do because I'd rather them not go to school. You know.
Oh yeah, sure. Let's make motto.
This government's knocking on your doors when you don't send your kids to school these days.
Yeah.
That's right.
Scary, isn't it? But it's Larry62558@yahoo.com, and whoever wants to come, I mean, that's what we'll do, you know. So
we'll figure it all out, and just let us know what you want us to bring, and it'll just be my wife and I, so.
All right,
yeah,
we'll
have at it.
Put the lamb together, we'll grill it, and, you know, have the wine, and have the matzah, and dip
Beautiful.
It in the... You know, I mean, that's what we'll do, and we'll make a grand time of it. It's about time.
Beautiful.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's nice.
Well, then we're on. I don't care if there's 40 people. I don't care if there's 5. You know, whatever.
You know, we're also
is.
Scattered. You know, we're also scattered all over the place, you know, and it's like, who is it? Where can I find someone that I could just share Yah with and just, you know, just talk about them and all that kind of stuff and.
Oh, we'll have a good
nice
time.
It's nice to talk with you guys in Florida here. You know, you guys are close at home here.
So well, there's about 10 of us here in Florida, I think, all said and done or something. And that would about work out. You know, one
yeah.
in a million.
Yeah,
you know. That's actually less than one in a million. But there are a few of us.
That's right.
So, you know, let's all get together and do it. And anybody listening, you know, Larry62558, send your phone number because I will call. And then,
yes,
you know,
I'll
give directions or whatever else to anybody that wants to come along, you know.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Well, all
okay,
right,
well,
I'm going to get ahead and jump off here. I got to eat some dinner. But
okay.
I appreciate hanging out with you guys, and I look forward to spending peace out with you guys.
Yeah,
okay,
fun.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I'm out of here,
yeah.
Too. Thanks, everybody.
Okay,
thanks for calling
bye-bye,
in.
Guys.
Kyle, thanks for calling in. William.
Hey, Kyle.
Thanks for co-hosting here. I was going to be
buddy.
Hopeless. Bob, you made this a lively show. I enjoyed it. Okay?
Yes,
well,
he
thank
did.
You very
thanks
much.
For calling in, Bob.
Thanks.
Care,
my pleasure.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.